People with state-of-the-art info about the health of the U.S. economy have spent a lot of time in front of microphones this week. I'm David Brancaccio in Washington, D.C. today. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell speaks later this morning after other Fed officials have been especially chatty of late ahead of what's called a quiet period that precedes the next interest rate meeting this month. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer sums up the emerging economic portrait.
Earlier this week, Fed Governor Christopher Waller appeared to open the door just a crack to the possibility of a cut in interest rates. The Fed has been raising rates to cool the economy and tamp down inflation. In a speech on Tuesday, Waller said,
"So I'm encouraged by what we've learned in the past few weeks. Something appears to be giving, and it's the pace of the economy."
But Waller was quick to add there's still a lot of economic uncertainty, and he can't say for sure the Fed is winning its battle with inflation. On Wednesday, Richmond Fed President Thomas Barkin told CNBC there are signs the economy is cooling.
"I'm hearing consumer slowing down. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. I'm not hearing consumer falling off the table. I'm hearing normalizing, not recession, but I am hearing consumer slowing down."
But Barkin wasn't ready to talk about a cut in interest rates. He says inflation is going to be stubborn. And in a panel discussion last month, Fed Chair Jerome Powell said inflation had given the Fed a few head fakes, and Fed officials won't hesitate to raise interest rates again, quote, "if it becomes appropriate." I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
The oil producers cartel OPEC Plus announced the group has agreed to keep production in lower gear, affecting 2% of global supply. This is a bid to prop up prices, yet oil prices fell on the news. Marketplace's Nova Safo explains.
The latest announcement from OPEC Plus essentially maintains the status quo through March. So far, that has failed to significantly prop up oil prices, even though the alliance accounts for about 40% of global oil production. The problem is that markets are anticipating even less demand next year than OPEC countries so far have been willing to cut. That's because of a likely slowdown in consumption as the post-pandemic boom fades and major economies slow. Meanwhile, the U.S. is pumping out about 1 million barrels of more oil each day than it did a year ago, potentially adding to a supply glut. OPEC Plus could pack a bit more punch next year. It announced Brazil, an emerging oil producer, will join the alliance in January. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Crude oil is up 0.4% this morning, above 76 a barrel now. S&P futures, little changed right now. Today is World AIDS Day. It's an annual moment to remember people lost and for education in the ongoing battle against the HIV/AIDS epidemic that emerged more than four decades ago. With medical advancements, there are a number of tools available to help prevent HIV. Today here, a focus on a powerful medical approach that experts say is underused. Pre-exposure prophylaxis, known as PrEP, is a highly effective approach to prevent HIV. There are different ways to deliver PrEP, but uptake has been slow. For more, my Marketplace colleague Sabri Benashour spoke with Anne Nealon, an infectious disease specialist and professor at Harvard.
PrEP has been around in one form or another for many years. Has it shown up in the data as to HIV transmission rates?
So PrEP has been around since 2014, and it's just amazing to be able to offer an option to prevent HIV to patients who are at increased risk. It is really a game changer. And in the trials, the efficacy is really astonishing. If taken daily or if taken as prescribed, it can be up to 99% effective daily oral PrEP. And in fact, in the studies that looked at comparing injectable PrEP to oral PrEP, actually, injectable PrEP was even better. And in part, that was because those studies were sort of taking all comers. It didn't look at the subset of individuals who could take PrEP daily really, really well, because it's really hard for anybody to take a pill daily, meaning that it is not as effective if you're not able to take that pill daily.
How much does it cost to be on PrEP?
Well, it depends on where you live and who you are and what kind of PrEP you're taking. So, you know, if you were to look at the Merck Cuban pharmacy recently, you would see that the medication price for generic oral TDF-FTC, that option that's been around since 2014, it's less than 50 cents a day for that medication. But if you were going to look at the branded Descovy price, it would be about $18,000 annually, and cabotegravir is north of that. What the patient bears really depends on their health insurance coverage, so it can really vary widely.
For the higher-end versions of PrEP, why are they so expensive?
That is a great question that is not entirely transparent to those of us who've worked in this field for a while. You know, it's often the case that newer and better drugs are priced as being more costly than their alternatives, but it's not really clear how those prices are created. You know, oftentimes it's cited that it's the research and development cost that goes into it, but it's not a transparent formula that one can Google and look up online. It's also the case that over time, the medications, both for treating HIV and for preventing HIV, that their increase in price has exceeded that of inflation. So the answer is, I don't know, but it is astonishing, the vast difference, and it doesn't necessarily correspond to value.
Dr. Anne Neelan is an infectious disease specialist and professor at Harvard. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For people looking for more about HIV prevention and treatment, Dr. Neelan suggests looking at PrEP for All. So search PREP, numeral 4, then the word all, PrEP for All, as well as consulting what the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has to say about PrEP. The publisher Penguin Random House and some prominent authors have filed a federal lawsuit in an attempt to stop the banning of books in Iowa. The suit targets a new Iowa law banning books from any school library or classroom that describe sex. The law also bans books that address gender orientation or gender identity for students K through 6th grade. The suit argues the law is overbroad and unconstitutional. In Washington, D.C. today, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.